is in the area of being a prophetic church. Now that may sound like a very deep and complicated term, but in essence, what it means is we try to be as led of the Lord as we can and listen to His voice, which is being spoken all the time. And so we try to tune into it and then do it, share it, activate it, whatever the word requires to do, we try to accomplish that. And, you know, sometimes things that we get from the Lord in our hearts, we may not be very sure whether that was the Lord or that was our desires or what. But I want you to know that God uses everything that we set and offered to Him. You know, even if it may be the wrong thing, the right hand, the right heart, the right attitude about it will turn wrong things into something that God can use. Now, I prepared for a sermon on encouragement today, and Shitara and probably Beanie were involved in it, and probably Natalie as well. They encouraged me this morning. They brought cookies. They brought goodies. They brought Mountain Dew. Just get down those things properly. So, you know, that is encouragement. And we're going to be talking about it a little more, but I just want to let you know, even in that, what seems to be a simple act, they felt what the Lord was wanting them to do to contribute to the message this morning. So, you know, what we may think as mundane, the Lord uses to bring an object lesson. Now, I may be a little long-winded today, so if you get too hungry, you can go ahead and take one cookie, but leave me enough there for me to enjoy later on, okay? So, I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you have them, to Judges chapter 6, and let me describe a little bit of the setting that we're going to look into today. God had taken the people of Israel from 400 years of bondage in Egypt, delivered them with a mighty hand, took them through the desert, taught all kinds of things, weeded out the ones that were not faithful, did not have faith, and then the new generation went into the promised land as God had promised that they will go into the promised land. They get into the promised land, and for a short season, they're faithful to God. And you know, just as we do as Christians, you know, we get saved, we get excited about the Lord and what He's doing. And after a while, we tend to revert back to our old habits. This is how the children of Israel, you know, the God delivered all their enemies into their hands. They had land, they had houses, they had comforts. And after a while, they went complacent. And after a little longer, they started looking at the gods of the other people around them, and they became unfaithful to the Lord. This is a pattern in the book of Judges. It seemed like they would fall, the Israelites would fall into sin. There would be judgment. The people would repent. And then there would be a restoration that would last some years. And then again, the cycle. People get complacent, fall into sin. God would judge. They would repent. and then God would restore. Well, in the midst of one of these cycles we're going to read today, and hopefully we'll find some nuggets of gold here. Judges chapter 6. Let me see if I can project it as well. Judges chapter 6, starting with verse 1. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. So beginning of a new cycle. So the Lord delivered them into the hands of Midian for 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. Because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made for themselves the dens, the caves, and the strongholds which are in the mountains. So it was, whenever Israel had sown, Midianites would come up. Also Amalekites and the people of the east would come up against them. Then they would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza, and leave no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor donkey. For they would come up with their livestock and their tents, coming in as numerous as locusts. Both they and their camels were without number, and they would enter the land to destroy it. Not a pleasant scenario. Israel was in one of those cycles. They had sinned against the Lord. God judged them. Not to just get his anger off his chest, but to bring correction and instruction. But see, you know, you can correct your kid, and if there is no repentance, the cycle will continue. And God wanted to bring repentance, an acknowledgement of what was being done wrong, and a repentance from heart to turn away back to the Lord. You know, this past year, 2 hurricanes hit Florida. One of them was Nicole, and the other one was Ian. Many people lost their properties and businesses, especially in Lee and Charlotte counties. And there was quite a bit of devastation. It was localized in those areas, but, you know, we saw a lot of it since we're very close to that area. Looking at situations spiritually, though, some of you feel spiritually bankrupt, imprisoned. Even when you have given the circumstances what you felt was your best. Trials and temptations are taking a toll on your relationship with the Lord and with others around you. Sometimes it gets to the point that some of you are tempted to quit, to hide, to stay secluded, to disassociate with people and even with church. Sometimes you find out that your walk with God has not enriched your life as you expected. And sometimes you feel like somehow you've missed it. Well, there's encouragement from the Lord today. Continuing in Judges, in verse 6. So Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. I want you to know that God wrote these things from the past of Israel as an example for us. What they suffered physically projects to what we go through spiritually in many areas. And there are useful nuggets and instruction that can come out of what happened to them applied to our lives, because it's still the same God that loves them and loves you and I. So Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. There was repentance. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet to the children of Israel, who said to them, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all who oppressed you, and drove them out before you, and gave you their land. Also I said to you, I am the Lord your God, do not fear the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But you have not obeyed my voice." God was speaking to his people through a prophet then. And he's speaking to us today as well. He is admonishing us, and he's telling us, stop looking at your circumstances as if that is what brings you fulfillment. You live in a world whose God is money, or pleasure, or possessions. And the Lord says, you have begun to bow to these gods. And when these gods do not deliver what they promise, you feel empty. You sacrifice so many important things to have the goods. And when you do get the goods, they don't even satisfy. Not at all. You're still empty and wanting. Continuing with the scripture. Verse 11. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Ashbearite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. Now notice, God brought a word to let them know that they had done something wrong. He pointed out what was wrong, but he didn't leave him there. He sent his angel. Because the Lord is in the encouragement business. He wants to encourage us. He doesn't want to get us down. Sometimes we think that God is too hard. Hey, he's trying to get your attention, to boost you up, to get you encouraged. That is his, he is a God of all comforts. He is an encourager. And he says he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. But you know, he doesn't rely on your strength and abilities. What he relies on it is in his anointing in and through you. He does not look at you in your circumstances, but he looks at you in him, in Christ, in the Lord. That's why he's saying to you, the Lord is with you, you mighty man or woman of valor. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him, to Gideon, and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Well, sometimes we are so much in the dump that even a compliment doesn't hit right with us. A few things about encouragement that I need to mention. We all need encouragement at some point. And some of us at all points. We would rather live off of encouragement than out of cookies. We all have the need to be accepted and affirmed in who we are. We need to know that what we do, what we put our hands to, is important, and it is appreciated as well. We need to know that we as individuals in this church are headed in the same direction. In other words, we have a common vision. We have similar goals, and we can work together to achieve those things. Now, there is value in encouragement. For one thing, it provides a new perspective. After a while, after you get encouraged, it dawns on you that you are someone and you do matter. You have a purpose. There is purpose in what you're doing, in who you are. You're not just rambling aimlessly in this life. God made you with a purpose. Encouragement also provides the incentive and the energy needed for a new attitude. You know, I was in the dump, but now that I am revived, you know, I want to do something. I want to fulfill what I was made and created to do and to be. I am valued as a person. You know, we get to feel that, hey, someone else sees what I'm doing and actually cares and mentions it to me and even praises me. That's exciting. I want to do more so I can get more, right? My wife said it a while ago. The kingdom of God is giving and receiving. You give some and you receive some. That's just the domino effect of giving and receiving brought to the exponential level. Somebody has to start, and God always waits on us. Now, he gave us his example. He gave first, even when we hated him. But now that he has given, it's our turn, and he's waiting. But he will never be outgive, as she said. Some of the results of encouragement: it infuses new energy on us. Oh, man, give me more. That makes me feel good. You mean what I actually did was worth it? It looks good. It has value. Man, that makes me feel good. I didn't waste my time. And you noticed, and you said something to me. That's wonderful. It stimulates positive attitude. Encouragement does. Man, I did this and it turned out to be a good thing. I'm going to do some more of it. It just encourages us to continue doing the right things. It encourages action. You know, so many times we're waiting for somebody to do something and the Lord is saying, it's you I'm calling to do this particular thing. And you're waiting for somebody else. Just get it going. If you're scared, just pull somebody else on the hand and say, let's do this together. So I'm scared of being responsible by myself. Drag somebody. The other day, I was drowning here. I mean, I had to do some grinding, and dust covered everything in the church. And when I say everything, it was everything. Chairs, pews, everything. And I thought, my wife is going to kill me when she finds out. The cloud of glory wasn't that glorious, I tell you that. And so I let her know. And she said, well, I'll call some ladies, and once you get done with whatever dusting thing you're doing, I'll call them up to come and clean. And I said, good. But I could not leave the car. You could hardly see that the carpet was that color. And so I started vacuuming. I said, you know, they'll see the chairs. And they will have a cow, but I cannot let them see the carpet. You know, as I walked to get the vacuum, I could see the footprints all the way up there. I said, oh man, this is bad. So I vacuum, and as I move the chairs back, at least the floor didn't look that bad. It was crazy. So Unity was developed, and some women came here Saturday and rescued you guys today. If we do have a cloud, it's a cloud of glory, not the cloud of dust that was here last week. So action was encouraged, unity and accountability. Those are the kind of things that encouragement does for each one of us. Let's get back to Big Gideon. Chapter 6, verse 13. So this angel, the angel of the Lord, appears to Gideon while he's hiding. And he calls him a man of valor. And Gideon is scratching his head. Verse 13. Gideon said to him, "Oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours." Boy, he was encouraging him for sure. "Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hands of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" So he said to him, "Oh my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." And the Lord said to him, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man." Boy, Gideon was really down. He was really discouraged. What is this God that my parents talked about? The miracles and the signs. You know, my wife says ever so often that people are still questioning where are the signs and wonders that the Lord promised. And we can pass the mic and hear miracles in every one of your lives. Whether you want to call them miracles or not, they are. Some of you are living miracles. Some of us are. I'm speaking to you today with a voice that is a miracle. And, you know, it was confirmed. Something that happened 35 years ago is still confirmed today that there's no way that I should be speaking. Now, I am becoming a bionic man. You know, I got glasses, I got hearing aids, I got a trach, now I got a button that I can breathe and speak at the same time. You know, a few things. Gadgets. I am half man, half machine. Whatever it takes. The Lord has spoken to us in this house in the past about a visitation period. And when a visitation period from the Lord comes to a place like this, there's purging. There's exposing of hearts. That sometimes can be eye-opening, and sometimes it can be initially painful, but then it brings deliverance and freedom. And as the Lord deals with the hearts in this visitation period, usually he places people in the right spot within the body. And he teaches us to learn a new level of authority and accountability, which is important. And then when everything gets put in order, then we see the signs and wonders that he said we should be walking and they should be following us. This is encouragement from the Lord. We have heard this from the Lord from the past. And my wife and I believe that this is going to be one of those years. There's purging, there's transitioning, there's a placing in positions of authority and accountability. And if you're not for those kind of things, you know, there are plenty of other churches in town that will just keep you appeased. But I have a feeling that if you're here at this particular point, the Lord wants to do a work in you. And I don't want you to miss the timing and the things that the Lord wants to do in each one of us. Jesus was an encourager. You remember in John chapter 4 when he of all places, he decided to go through Samaria. And at noontime, he was tired, probably hungry and thirsty. And he sent his disciples to the big city to get something to eat. And he stayed by a well, and a woman came in, a Samaritan woman. He gave this woman focused attention because Jesus wanted to encourage her. He valued her. You know, first of all, she was a woman, and women were not valued much at that time. And then of all things, she was a Samaritan, which the Jews hated. They called them half-breeds, no better than a dog. And Jesus decided to go through Samaria and spend time alone with her to encourage her. He showed appreciation for her honesty when he revealed to her part of her life, and she agreed. And then he revealed himself to her. He extended to her his trust. He encouraged her. You know what the result of that was? Her self-esteem jumped sky high. She probably thought, I am valuable in God's eyes. He sent Messiah to talk to me alone. She got a new perspective. God cares about me individually. Even though I failed in this life, God still cares, and he sends his best to minister to me. You know the result of that was? Her attitude changed, and she went immediately into action. She became the first evangelist woman in the New Testament, pointing people to Jesus. She went to her own and told all the men, I met this guy and he ministered to me. Could this be the Messiah? And it says that many believe her testimony. And then they decided to come and go see Jesus. And they found out that he was truly the Messiah. She became an evangelist because Jesus encouraged her for just a few brief minutes. Other instances that Jesus encouraged people, such as Zacchaeus, he encouraged him and he was changed. In fact, you would find that Zacchaeus was the most generous man spoken of in the New Testament. He was a thief, He was a rebellious Jew, hated Jew because he was a tax collector. And in one afternoon spent with Jesus, he gave half of what he had. Half of what he had. And he had probably had much. And then he says, if I have stolen anything from anyone, I will restore fourfold. The most generous man in the New Testament that is written about. Because Jesus encouraged him. He found out he was meaningful in God's eyes, that he had a plan and a purpose and a destiny. And boy, he took it and he put it to action. The woman caught in adultery, she was encouraged because she was forgiven. The woman with the alabaster oil, Jesus said, because of what you've done, everyone will remember what you did. I'll have it written down. Encouragement is so important. I was brought up with an emphasis on the negative. What I got from my upbringing was sort of a motto for me. Condemn what's wrong, ignore what's right. That's the way I operated for a long time. This is what the law does. The law condemns. Have you ever been stopped by the Florida Highway Patrolman and he gets out of his patrol car and says, I want to commend you for being actually accurate about your speed limit. You stay within the speed limit. Has that happened to you ever? No, they wait till you go 56, 57 in a 55 and they nail you. That's what the law does. It condemns. It doesn't know how to praise for good behavior. And you know, we've all done bad. My wife taught me to look at the good and to acknowledge it verbally. This is so important. I'm still working at it, especially with my grandchildren now. You know, I try to do it with my children and they got sort of scarred. But I'm hoping to make it up with my grandchildren. But I'm, you know, sometimes they get the best of me. Marsha! I'm still a work in progress. Parents, children need you desperately as parents to encourage them. They need your personal attention. And I want you to know this is top priority in God's kingdom for you, parents. Jesus took a child and said, become like this. They need individual affirmation. They are unique individuals. Some are more unique than others. You need to find out their personality and their talents and gifts. You know, there's a scripture in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, that some of you parents probably like. It says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. You know, the way that was written, it sounds like a promise. Actually, it is not. The way it was written as an idiom, a phrase that was used then to portray certain principle. The scripture was used as a warning. the core of what the scripture intended to say at the beginning, if I can paraphrase, it means if you allow your children to have their own way, they will not depart from that foolishness when they are older. That was the intent of that scripture, a warning, not a promise. That's why you need to pay attention to your children. Learn what they're made of. Learn that their way is not necessarily the best. And hopefully by then you have learned good new ways and you should instill those. Because if you don't, then when they grow up, they never depart from the foolishness of a child. And I have seen grown adults acting like children. And boy, that is not, you know, you get a child and they get a tantrum and sometimes it can be even funny. But it's never funny in an adult. You don't want to be like that. And so, watch your children. They need appreciation, but they also need correction and instruction. You know, Paul said, when I was a child, I acted like a child, I thought like a child. But then when I grew up, I put away childish things. Some of us need to put away some childish things. The book of Colossians, chapter 3, verse 21. Paul is saying, fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. This is a message of encouragement. We need to encourage our children. You know, I learned this the hard way. If you only notice wrong, then your children will do wrong to get your attention. I'm going to say that again. If you only notice wrong in your children, and that's what you bring out, then they will do wrong just to get your attention because they want your attention. And some of us as parents, we're so busy with life that children are just after fact, and we're just honing something different. Children need physical affection from you parents. In Matthew 19:13, it says, then the children were brought to Jesus that he may put his hands on them and pray, but the disciples rebuked them. Sounds like me. Keep those kids away. But Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed from there. It took time, even for the children, to show affection, to touch them, to handle them, to pray for them, to anoint them. If your children do not get physical attention from you, they'll get it from somewhere else. Guaranteed. I know that your children need to change in many areas. And yet, the usual way that God works is he doesn't change them, he changes you. And then they see you changing, and then they will submit to changes. Let God change you first. And allow your kids to see that God is able to change you and change them. Let's get back to Judges. Where's Gideon here? Verse 17 of Judges 6. Then he, that's Gideon, then he said to him, the angel, if now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who talk with me. Do not depart from here, I pray, until I come to you and bring out my offering and set it before you. And he said, I will wait until you come back. So Gideon went in and prepared a young goat and unleavened bread from an ephah of flour. The meat he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and he brought them out to him under the terebinth tree and presented them. The angel of God said to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread. And fire rose out of the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread. And the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. This is the second Sunday that we meet in this church this year. So needless to say, we're starting a new year. It's here, 2023. God is giving us encouragement, and he's exhorting us to receive the encouragement and to encourage one another. And now it's time for us to become an offering before the Lord for him to show his favor towards us. Remember again the principle, you give and it shall be given to you. Spend some time talking with the Lord soon. Tell him how are you feeling. If you're down, if you're discouraged, you feel abandoned, you feel dry, tell him. He can handle it. You know what? He knows. He knows already. He just wants to hear you say it. Be honest with him. Verse 22, now Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. So Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. Then the Lord said to him, peace be with you. Do not fear. You shall not die. So Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it, the Lord is peace. To this day, it is still in Ophrah of the Abias rites. It is time to build an altar before the Lord and consecrate ourselves to him once again, afresh and anew. He wants to do many great things through us this year in this community. Be encouraged. Do not fear. Be at peace. God is the strength of your heart. He started a work in you. He's able to finish it if you allow him. To close, I want to share an incident that happened here. Last week, as I had the mess here, I had to finish with the grout. You know, that stuff in between the tiles. And in my haste for tile to be at least part of it for last Sunday, I left a lot of the thinset, the glue that sticks the grout to the floor, the tile to the floor. I didn't clean out the lines in between the way I should have because, you know, I was by myself and I was in a hurry. And, you know, you prepare so much thin set, and if you don't hurry up, it'll dry up in the bucket. So I was going to town, and there was a lot of glue in between the lines, and so to put the grout, if you have stuff in there, it's not going to glue. So I came in, I think it was Thursday, and I said, I'm going to have to grout today, so I have to get going. So I started in that corner. You realize that every tile is 24 inches, so it's 5 feet area around each tile. There's 5 feet. And then there's two tiles coming together, so it's 2.5 feet of grout cleaning area that I had to do. Multiply that times 18 tiles to the box times 22 boxes. That's a lot of feet. And so I started in that corner on Thursday morning at 9 o'clock, and I say, I have to get through this today. So I started with a little tool that cleans out the lines. At 9:45, I was probably around here from that corner, and I looked back and I said, this is an impossible task. And the Lord said to me, look back. I said, what? Don't look back. No, he said, look back. And I look, and I realize that I wasn't where I started. And the Lord said, keep looking back and realize that you are making progress. Amen. So at 9:45, I look good. At 10, I look back. Said, okay. At 10:30, man, it still looks kind of in the same place. But about 11, I was here, you know, wore out, on my knees and hands, cleaning up every crack. And I kept looking back, and I heard the Lord say, now it's time for a shift. You have to look forward now. Looking back was not encouraging me. It looked about the same after a while. He said, look forward. And I realized, hey, I'm almost halfway there. That was an encouragement to me. The Lord said, don't look back anymore. Now look ahead. You're almost there. And by 12, I was there. So that was the way that the Lord encouraged me to finish the task that I had at hand. I pray that at the beginning, you know, the hard thing is to get started and be encouraged, because you know that you have such a road to go ahead, and all of us need a lot of work. But the Lord is saying, look where you started and look where you are now. There is progress. Amen. Amen. And you do that for a certain time to be encouraged. But when that is no more an encouragement, then look forward to where your target is supposed to be and realize you're getting close to it. That's the type of encouragement that the Lord wants to give us today. Now, in closing, I want to make an altar call for those that feel discouraged, that in this season, the past season, you have said, you know, I'm down in the dumps. I have not met what God asked me to do. I have failed. Your initial desire is to go and hide, to admit failure. You know, Gideon said, where's God and the miracles he promised? The angel didn't agree with him. He said, go in this might of yours. You're the mighty man. He encouraged him. I want to pray for every one of you who comes for encouragement. My wife and I, and whoever else will agree with you to turn discouragement into the encouragement. Because the Lord is the Lord of encouragement. And so, I'll close with prayer. And then whoever needs a little nudge of encouragement, please don't leave. Father, I thank you that you are an encourager. You are the best at it. Lord, you take what looks like a disaster and you make something that has lots of potential, because you touch us where we need to be touched. Father, I pray for every soul that is represented in this place. I pray that you encourage each one of us, Lord, to pursue those things that you have placed in our heart, the callings and giftings and anointing that you have placed within us, Father, that we would put them to work for your glory and honor, for your kingdom, for blessing others. Father, we need a touch. And I pray that you do that to each one of us today, as we are encouraged by your encouragement today. You have promised many things that are conditional, that if we received, that we accept and we act on, that you will do great and mighty things. So, Father, we choose to go forward in you. I thank you for the encouragement, and I pray that we will be not only encouraged, but encourage others as we find them throughout the week. We bless you, we thank you, we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed. There's a meeting too happening, but if you need prayer, please, by all means, come.